At 12:15, with only 31 degrees to speak for the entire day, Michael Knight here in your palatial radio studios of KPQ. News Radio 560 KPQ, I insist. And consider this today. It's day three of our week-long recognition of the pre-royalty top 10 candidates. Some among this top 10 will soon be the queen and the two princesses for the Apple Blossom Festival. They've only done it 100 times, so they're just practicing until they get it right. And we'll meet our guests today, who include Cassidy Cunningham and Elizabeth Popoff and their chaperone, Allison Womack. Thank them for coming in. And now let's get to know these young ladies via the there's no other way to do it in radio. We're just going to have to talk it out, girls. Do you mind? Say good afternoon, if you will.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Cassidy Cunningham and Elizabeth Popoff. Do you girls get sleep now, or do you just have a series of nightmares until the morning, and then you get up and go to work?
Well, I don't get a lot of sleep. I go from Apple Blossom events to homework, and then writing thank yous, and then I finally get to bed at about midnight.
Writing thank yous. You girls are good at that. The art of writing a thank you note is something that I'm sure Darcy Christofferson probably has something to do with teaching you that, or perhaps it was your chaperones. I don't know. Has you ever written a thank you note prior to that? Was it customary in your families to do that?
I've written a few, and something about Apple Blossom is making sure they're personal to everyone you write them to.
There you go. That's the voice of Cassidy. She's the daughter of Jeff and Joanne Cunningham right here in town. You're the vice president of fellowship for Phi Theta Kappa, which is the honor society, but not at your school, at your college. You're already on the fence between high school and college.
Yes.
Explain how that works.
I'm a Running Start student, so I take classes at the Wenatchee Valley College while still being enrolled through Eastmont High School.
And what classes do you take at the college?
Right now I'm taking biology, calculus 2, and English.
Calculus. I'm impressed. Are you good at math? You must be.
Pretty good at math. It's Although not my favorite subject.
Calculus is a little beyond just math, is it not?
Yes, but it's still pretty fun.
Well, what's it like going to two schools at once? When you think about it, it's not so different. A lot of people do it in this town, but it's something that a generation ago probably wasn't even available.
All of my classes that I do take are at the college, so I'm only ever at the high school if I'm meeting with my counselor or playing basketball.
Basketball, well, let's get to that. What position do you play?
I'm a post, because I'm quite tall for a girl.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
And you run into people that are considerably taller than yourself playing
the
basketball?
All the time.
I think even guys that are 7'1" run into somebody who's taller than they are. Sooner, if you want to meet somebody taller than yourself and you play basketball, it won't be long.
Oh, yeah. It's all in the elbows at that point, then.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I thought it was all in the neck at that point. He's just 6'8" with a long neck. That's a basketball joke. Okay, let's go next to the idea of when did you start playing basketball, and are you a good shot?
I've been playing basketball for a long time, and my dad actually taught me how to shoot when I was younger in our driveway, and I always thought I was going to be a point guard or shooter because my sister is only 5'2", and he raised me thinking I was only going to be 5'2", and then I had a growth spurt, and he's like, you're post now.
And tomorrow we're trading you to Charlotte. There you go. Elizabeth Popoff now for a moment. We'll get to know their voices as we go through the interview. Red Zone Leader, what is that?
Red Zone Leader. I actually cheer on Cassidy when she's on the court. I was nominated by Eastmont Senate to just be a leader for the student body who shows up to football games and basketball games. And it's just a lot of fun. We always show up in the most ridiculous outfits, and I'm responsible for being the loudest one in the whole entire gym.
And did your voice carry?
Well, my voice does carry it. It echoes in the gym. Cassidy, can you maybe?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Awesome.
So your job is to bring the spirit and to encourage others to do the same.
That's right. Yep, I'm always the one in the hallways before the game. So
Red Zone Leader.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm running into a lot of people from Wenatchee High. That's your school, right, for
Eastmont.
Both of you?
Eastmont.
You went to Eastmont?
Yes.
Who work for their yearbook or for the newspaper? Have you noticed you all had this journalistic background?
Yes, we talk about it a lot, actually, kind of our positions across kind of yearbook and newspaper, and it's a lot of fun.
What do you do for the yearbook?
I am actually the editor-in-chief. This is my second year, And we do all the layouts, and we direct everyone in the classroom to just get their work done, and so we can have an awesome yearbook at the end of the school year.
You live and die by the deadline, right?
That is right.
But I'm not ready. But the deadline was yesterday.
That's right. That's a constant thing we run into with everyone, but we say, you know what? We're gonna submit your page.
Good luck with that one. You're a competitive dancer at the Academy of Dance and Performing Arts.
Yes, I actually started at the Academy of Dance and Performing Arts, and now I dance at Fabulous Feet. I have been doing it for 10 years now, maybe, and I absolutely love everything I do.
So you rehearse a routine and then compete with it?
Yep, we start in around September, and we create routines, and then in March we go to Seattle and Spokane and compete at their competitions.
When you started, I guess you started dancing because you loved to dance. Is that right? But competition's another matter.
That's right. My parents threw me in dance when they saw me in the living room kind of twirling and dancing to the music that they always played. So my mom threw me in dance class, and it's been like that ever since.
You're both seniors, right?
Yep. Yes.
So it's almost time, it is time to be making decisions about where you're going to go. What school would you like to go to, and what school do you think you'll go to?
I'd love to go to the University of Washington, and I hope to major in biochemistry, and my backup college is Eastern Washington University.
Why biochemistry, if I may be so bold?
I've always loved biology and science classes because I've had great teachers, and it wasn't until last year when I took my chemistry series at the college that I kind of turned the wheels and decided biochemistry is a good mix of the two.
And how will you use that as after you graduate?
I plan to apply to a school of medicine and get a doctorate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A doctor, an MD?
An MD.
An MD. There you go. And then what kind of medicine would you practice? Or would you do research?
I'd love to be an oncologist and study cancer and...
You're going to beat it or not?
Yes.
Good.
For sure.
I'm tired of hearing about fighting it and no one ever wins. How about you, Elizabeth? I know you've thought about school.
Yes, I actually am thinking of biochemistry as well. I also want to go to the University of Washington, just as Cassidy just said. I hope to take that and apply it to the medical field after I graduate with that major.
So we're opening up a clinic here, right?
opening up your
practice. What sort of would you want to practice medicine, or how would you use that after
medicine? Yes, I'm thinking about gynecology right now, so. That is something that Cassidy and I could open up here in the Valley.
Well, absolutely. Plus, everybody wants to be well. And it's not going to the doctor that bothers some people. It's going, they want to go to the right doctor.
That's right.
They want to make that choice. And also, they want to have confidence in their doctors.
And that's Elizabeth and I. Come to us.
I believe it. I believe that immediately. I believed it. Where do you think medicine's going? By the time you graduate, there'll be so many breakthroughs that the world that we're living in right now that you're studying to prepare for will be history. You'll be off to something new.
There have been leaps in cancer research within the last couple of weeks, actually, and there have also been strides towards curing Alzheimer's. I've read articles about, and I think that throughout med school, my field might change a few times because of all these breakthroughs, but in the end, I know I'll pick the right decision.
And I think also medicine is always going to be something that we are going to need. And so in 100 years, we're still going to need the medicine that we have now.
But then there's two diseases and problems that you both mentioned, that you just mentioned, between cancer and Alzheimer's. There's two examples of how to treat something until death, but they have no chance of curing it. There can't be anything more frustrating than that.
It's a challenge. And that's, I think, what Cassidy and I both want, is something that will challenge us in our future careers.
Now, it's getting harder and harder to get into the University of Washington, I can tell you that. How hard is it? What sort of grades and presentation do you have to make before you can break through, do you think? I'm not saying that you should have a lack of confidence. I'm just saying, how did you prepare your play to get in?
Well, I am also a Running Start student, and I have kind of focused all my classes on something that would further me when I go and transfer to the University of Washington, something that's going to help me out and cut down those years of schooling. And I also kept my grades up and participated in a lot of different activities. So I think I'm waiting for that March date, but it's feeling pretty good.
You guys talk about medicine together? Talk about breakthroughs?
Sometimes.
You read about it? Did you hear about it? Yeah. That's great. I'm impressed that your favorite television show is Friends, Elizabeth. I can't defend. The boys in that show are so stupid. How can that be? How can that be your favorite show?
Well, all six friends all have their own different personalities, and yes, the boys are sometimes stupid in that show, but I mean, so are the girls sometimes. So that's what makes the show just amazing, is that it's so fun. There's nothing that.
Plus, there's so many
watch of
them. You just say, haven't I seen this one?
That's when you go on Nick at Night when it's 9 o'clock and. You turn on the TV and you say, what can I watch? And you watch Friends that you've watched almost 100 times, probably.
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
Well, Cassie, do you have a show that's similar among your favorites? I mean, I don't know how many episodes of Grey's Anatomy there are, but I think due to the fact that I was the only guy in my family, I had a daughter and my wife, and all the dogs were girls and the cats were girls, and everybody watched Grey's Anatomy, so I learned how to appreciate that show. Who's your favorite?
I've watched the show two or three times through, and my favorite character is Christina Yang. I love how into her work she is.
Yeah. And not into people so much.
And her sarcastic jokes.
Oh,
I love those.
That's a good choice. Favorite song is Tear in My Heart by 21 Pilots. How did that come to be for your absolute favorite song?
I love 21 Pilots, and I like how they're still a band in a time full of single artists. And it's not so much the meaning of the song as the memory that I have attached to the song.
Oh, yeah.
I know that my mom and I would always play it in the car and we're doing errands and sing it to each other.
That's great. Now, yours is more of a classic hit.
Yes.
Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, I actually...
Did it just stick with you when you first heard it?
Well, kind of with Cassidy, I have a story behind mine. My dad and I would always listen to Michael Jackson when I was super young, and I actually got into dancing. He would throw me up backwards and let me dance on the ceiling.
Oh.
And that was a song we always listened to. We listened to a lot of Michael Jackson, and that one just has a great meaning and great story behind it.
While we're talking about favorites, your favorite book is Harry Potter. I actually have read the whole series.
Yes, they're wonderful.
Well, think about it now. Who's your favorite character in Harry Potter?
That's a hard one. I love Snape. Just because he is the bad guy, but he is also
the good guy.
The good guy.
But well hidden.
That's right. I have a lot of respect for that character.
How about Hagrid? He's my favorite.
Yeah, he's awesome. I'm very short, so in contrary
opposite. He would have loved you.
That's right.
Hagrid would have protected you, and you would have been his favorite.
That's right.
Your book I'm not as familiar with, but... I see, as I was looking at your favorite, Infernal Devices by Cassandra Clare is the one. Tell me about that one.
It takes place in the mid-1800s in Old England, and it's a fantasy book about people who fight evil. And it's very interesting to see how they portray the time back in the mid-1800s. For me.
I like that gaslight stuff, right?
Yes, and the dresses and the parties.
Tell me about the Nobel Prize winner Gertrude B. Aleon.
She was one of the first women to win a Nobel Peace Prize for medicine and physiology, and her work included making vaccinations for the HIV virus and working towards cancer cure.
Wow. Excellent. And one of your favorite keepsakes is the postcard collection that was painted by Allie Hancock. I'm sorry, I don't know who Allie Hancock is, but should I?
She's a local artist. She goes on hikes around Washington State, and as she sits there on her hike, she paints or draws the picture and makes prints and sells them at booths down at Pybus or up in Leavenworth. And I love them because my sister buys them for me. She'll bring one home when she knows I'm having a bad week, and I hang them all up on my wall.
You too have a treasured keepsake, and it's a necklace that you keep on the mirror of your car?
Yeah, I received a necklace from one of my very close friends, and it's a cursive E, and I look at it every day I drive, get up in my car, and go places. It just reminds me of how good my life is and how much I cherish the people around me.
Well, while we're celebrating the good life with you, let's go to one of your favorite restaurants. You really like to dine out? Are you a gourmet or a connoisseur?
I love McGlynn's. McGlynn's is my absolute favorite restaurant to go here in
town.
That's
a good spot. Good energy, too.
Good energy. I always have to go and get a cookie pizza. That is my that's my go-to when I go to McGlynn's. Even if I'm not feeling like dessert, I have to get a cookie pizza.
I think the staff there has something to do with the success of the restaurant, as all staffs do, because no matter who you meet there, who's working there, they all seem to have the same sort of good energy.
Yes, they're also friendly and so approachable.
And the place can really get busy.
Yes, very busy. I always end up going and saying, oh my goodness, it's so busy, but I always wait because I have to get my cookie pizza.
So you're an authority on restaurants. We say McGlynn's. I'm familiar with that one. Tell me about a restaurant that maybe I don't know.
I really like Alma's.
It's, oh, yeah. I like that one, too.
Yes. I really like it. It's I love their rice.
Good cooking. I like their chimichangas.
It's wonderful. Yes. I like their street tacos.
Excellent. All right. You can't go wrong at Alma's, right? One to my left and one to my right. So I don't know which way I'll go on the way home.
I don't know.
I think today I need Mexican food to keep me warm.
Go to Alma's.
Our very special guests are Cassidy Cunningham and Elizabeth Popoff. They're both candidates in the top 10 to be the queen and the princesses for the 100th annual Apple Blossom Festival. I have no vote. I have no skin in the game. I just get to meet everybody and appreciate your talents and your gifts. When we come back, we'll ask them how they got into this crazy business after we take a short break on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Levels late last week and into the weekend, dude.
Keep up with the latest news, weather, traffic, sports, and much more. Listen to KPQ through your Alexa or other smart speaker device. You can find out how right now at kpq.com.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and kpq.com.
It's 12:35 here at News Radio 560 KPQ. We have a very special show today with Cassidy Cunningham and Elizabeth Popoff. They're each a candidate to be queen or princess for the 100th annual Apple Blossom Festival. And to do so, you had to make up your mind one day that you were going to throw your hat in the ring, that you were just going to cross the Rubicon. You were going to, what's the other words? Break the egg.
That's right.
And what made you do it? We'll start with you, Elizabeth.
I have had a lot of friends in the past who have run for royalty, and a lot of them had made top 10, and actually some of them made royalty that top 3 spot, and I really look up to them because they are my friends, and I really strive to be like them, and so I said, well, they could do it. Why couldn't I do it? So.
Did your parents agree that you had a good chance?
Yes, my parents were all in. They told me, you know, go for it. If this is what you want, we'll support you in the whole thing.
Is your family from Wenatchee?
I am actually born in Michigan.
What town?
Iron River.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
My family grew up in Michigan, but we moved here when I was one. So I grew up here, but my family's from Michigan.
So you're the one, when it's freezing here, you just say, this isn't cold.
Well, it is a little chilly, but it's nothing like out there.
Cassidy, did you have the same ease at home when you made your announcement that you wanted to pursue this?
Yes, my family was so supportive. I've had aunts in the past that have ran and made top 10.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I have always wanted to do this since I was a little girl, watching them come in to your schools during assemblies. And when I had the conversation with my mom, she said, okay. And she assembled the support team of her and my two sisters, and she said, we're going to be here for you every step of the way.
Now, there's 10 of you. There can only be 3 at the end. And I brought this up, and I don't mean to bring it up as a negative. But what's it going to be like if you're one of the 7? What's it going to be like if you're one of the 3?
I think if, either way, I think we have such a strong 10 that everyone is just going to be so supportive of whoever makes that top 3 spot. And those 7 that don't make it, I think we're all going to be that top 10 spot. It's all about what's going on right now and the bonds and just friendships we've made right now, that it just makes it so special.
What do you think, Cassidy?
I'd be happy for any one of those girls to represent our valley. They're all so amazing, and I realize it more and more every time.
How did you, you couldn't possibly have known them all personally. How many new friends do you have?
I think
a lot.
Yeah, all of them. You see them on Instagram, or you see them at football, basketball games. Yeah. You do Battle of the Bridges, but you never actually get to sit down and have a conversation with them until you get presented with this opportunity.
And it's even the ones that are in your school. You pass them in the hallways every day. You say, hey, good morning. But it's until you got into this top 10 that you really formed friendships that we have now.
And you see similarities in your backgrounds and in your personalities.
Oh, most definitely. I think all of us have made a one-on-one connection with all 10.
That's the story that I've heard over and over again, so I don't bring it up to be repetitive. I just think that it's renewing and it's reassuring that the process sounds pretty vicious. But in reality, it's just the roll of the dice. That's the way it goes. Any one of the 10 would have been a great queen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to live with the fact that choices were made for you.
Yeah.
But the training and the experience, that's something that they, that you are allowed by the, just for the virtue of going through it. That goes with you wherever you want to go.
Yeah, most definitely.
And have you noticed that you are confident, or perhaps more confident in presenting yourself than you were just a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would have been able to go through a mock interview or sit down and have a radio interview with someone before this experience.
Yeah, most definitely. I think also, like yesterday we had a etiquette dinner, and I learned so many things just how to eat. These skills have been so amazing, and it's kind of the confidence that is projected off of all of us from this training is really something special.
Cassidy Cunningham, you play the piano too, right?
Yes, I do. I've played for probably 8 years now, and I take lessons at the Columbia River Music Conservatory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're playing. You are a player.
Yes.
Well, what's your favorite kind of music?
In the piano, I like artists like Mozart or Beethoven. I like sonatas, not necessarily jazzy, staccato, sharp pieces.
But those are quite a challenge to master.
Yes.
What was your first sonata that you studied?
My piano teacher decided to throw me right in, and I worked on the Moonlight Sonata. It's a 4-minute, maybe 30-minute song.
Yeah. The time on that one is really hard.
Yeah.
Because he insists that you play beautifully, slowly, and yet you have to string it together. The meter is a real challenge on that one. That's a tough one.
It's all about sitting there and counting. And I despise metronomes, but I always have to bring it out and put up with it, and it really helps in the end.
It does. It gets you on the, at least you're in the exact right beat. I had a friend of mine who was a classical violinist, and he said, "Mozart, he writes like a child. It's impossible to play." What he meant was that it's so beautiful and so simple that it sounds like a child wrote it, and that anyone could duplicate it. But in fact, it's a work of genius for the most part.
When he first presented me, he'd play a whole bunch of pieces and let me see the music, and he said, "Okay, which one do you want to learn?" And I saw the Mozart one, and I saw the notes on it, and I said, "Okay, this looks easy." And then I sat down to start practicing, and I said, "I picked the wrong one. This is going to take a long time."
Do you practice daily?
I try to practice as often as I can, whether it be half-hour sessions or an hour, even sitting down just to run through one song.
Or just scales. That was the same musician that I talked to a lot. I picked his brain because he was a pro and had traveled all over the world and played. And he said, musicians don't practice the song they're playing. They warm up with scales. Play it fast, play it slow, play it very slow. And he said that's what you'll notice if you look around. That's what the pros do when they prepare.
I have a hard time forcing myself to do technique before I jump into it. I'm always like, okay, I'm ready to play.
Let's do the tune.
Yeah.
It's hard to warm up, though. Have you ever not played for like 2 weeks and gone back and say, "My God, what happened to my skills?"
Yes. I'm like, my fingers won't move the way they used to.
When you read the Harry Potter books, how old were you when you first started?
I actually just recently read them. I read them over this summer, and I've watched all the movies multiple times. And I thought, well, I probably should sit down and look at the books. And that was my summer hobby.
The funniest thing is my daughter did it absolutely backwards and with a vengeance, so typical of her. She read all the books but refused to see any of the movies. She said that it was going to ruin the book and she couldn't stand the combat. She's true to her word. Even when it comes on television, she's just gone, won't watch it.
Yeah, that's how I normally am. Read the books and then watch the movie, but Harry Potter's too good. I couldn't wait.
What are natural helpers?
Natural helpers. It is a camp that Eastmont High School does. You get nominated your sophomore, junior, or senior year by your peers, and it is something that you attend in September, and you go off for like a 3-day trip with just 4 teachers and like 40 other kids, and you go up in the woods, and you just learn how to become a leader and be someone for your peers to kind of just talk about what they're going through at school. It could be the stress of homework or maybe some family issues. It's we learn how to deal with situations like that and how to get them help.
You think the kids who are suffering and require or long for that help, do they know that you're available and trained and are something they can turn to?
Yeah, I actually went my sophomore year, and then I returned back my senior year as a senior trainer, and we actually get these cool bracelets that we make at the end of camp, and we all wear them or have them around their water bottle like I do. And that kind of symbolizes to students, hey, if you see these bracelets, we went through this stuff to help you and help you get help. So the bracelets symbolize kind of, I'm a natural helper.
It sounds like that's a nice way, or it's an option at least, to deal with the pressures of being in school. Cassidy, how do you deal with that? Because there's a lot of pressure on you to succeed. You're the smart one. You're the one that's going to be the doctor. You're the one that's going to be the queen. You must not fail. You must not be moody. You must not be unhappy. You must not be hungry. You have to be perfect.
And, Sometimes I might take it out on my mom before I have my morning cup of coffee.
Always. Yeah. What I suggest is always take it out on your mother. She's expecting it, I think.
She puts up with me pretty well.
Yeah. Not just your mother. All mothers will tell you that it's coming. If not today, tomorrow, some fine day. And it's the frustrations that children have, you're often taken out on their parents. But do either of you deal with the anxiety of having to get it right all the time?
Yes, definitely a problem I go through. You have to get an A on this test. You have to have everything turned in on time, perfect. And I think a good way to get away from that is to clear your mind, going on a hike or setting out an hour for yourself to go to the gym or take a bath.
No. Or don't. I guess somehow you get the answer you want when you ask the right question. And if you ask yourself, are you just too stupid to do this now? you get one answer, but if it's like, let's prepare and be ready to go within 20 minutes and we're going to do this right.
That's right.
The inner conversation is sometimes the difficult one to have with yourself.
It most definitely is, yes. I think it's important, like Cassidy said, to just take a minute for yourself and regroup and say, this is going on and I'm going to get down to the problem, but I'm going to go exercise, or I'm going to take a moment, take a bath. Or it's good to get in touch with yourself.
First, an hour for yourself.
That's right.
It's a good way to start. Yep. Our guests are Cassie Cunningham and Elizabeth Popoff. They're both candidates in the top 10 for the royalty for this year's Apple Blossom Festival. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's on their mind right now and what's their next step. And I will push a button and we will disappear.
You bake it.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ. Our time is 12:50. We're trading stories about broken bones because I'm dealing with two doctors who would be doctors in the room. And you have a test on all the bones in the body?
I do, on Friday. Lab exam.
206 bones in the body?
That's right. There's 206. You have a lot in your axial skeleton and your outside of your bones. So.
It's those little bones that...
The little ones, yep.
That's when you have to have surgery to put them back in place, right?
That's right.
Elizabeth Popoff, that was her voice, and Cassidy Cunningham, I'm a very special guest. How do you ladies deal with the load of... You were just talking about your homework and tests coming up and all that stuff. You have a load.
Oh, yeah. You have to schedule ahead of time, and I have a planner. I like to write everything out. And set reminders on my phone when things are due. Make sure I'm studying. Make sure I'm getting everything done.
Yeah, it's like you have to create time for studying and when you're going to do.
You have to make time to plan time.
That's right.
Or else you're behind time.
That's right.
What's the best part about this experience? It's unique. No matter what you do, you'll never do this again.
Yeah. I think some of the most unique things we've done is, I mean, everything we do, every event we have, it's a learning opportunity. When we went up and looked at Apple, how like an Apple storage unit, it was so interesting to learn how apples are cleaned and how they're put into boxes and then transferred to grocery stores. And every time I go into a grocery store now, I think, oh, I know how that got here. So
I know how you got here.
That's right.
Well, and the scheduling that you do, you seem to be pretty confident that you're doing it the right way, Cassidy. Your grades haven't suffered, I hope.
Nope, not at all. I think I'm doing a pretty good job staying on top.
Excellent. What about your friends at school who had only know you as a student. They don't know you as the would-be candidate. What are their reactions to this? I never thought you'd do that, Cassidy.
At the college, everyone keeps to themselves pretty well, but the friends that I do talk to know that I'm running, and they're very supportive.
Yes. I can attest to that. All of my friends are super excited for me. What do you guys have today? Or what are you guys doing? I saw a picture of you yesterday. They're so supportive and so eager to just hear about everything we're doing.
There's an element of this where you learn techniques for presenting yourself, but you have to start using them right away. Yeah. Do your hair, do your makeup, get your clothes right. There's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, it's challenging to, I mean, I have an 8 a.m. class, and it's challenging to wake up and say, okay, I got to do my hair, I got to do my makeup, but it's so rewarding to think, oh, yeah, but I'm doing my hair and my makeup for my event I have later, and I get to hang out with all my friends, all my top 10 candidates, so it's a lot of fun.
And Cassidy, do you think that can you envision that the tools that you're using now and the techniques will be used when you present yourself as a professional not too far in the future?
Oh, yes, and my job in the future will help me come across to my patients, hopefully as a doctor, and interviewing for jobs, I think it'll help me get ahead of the game.
So, Dr. Popoff, Dr. Cunningham, it's been a pleasure to meet you and to talk with
you. Thank you.
Good luck to both of you, and I don't know. I think that the odds are against me ever being disappointed in doing these interviews with the representatives of the Apple Blossom Festival, only because consistently, year after year, it's as if you've been chosen by central casting. You're all coming from a central place that no one knows about, and they show up and say that you're ready for the show. No one has not been able to explain why they want to do it and how it's going to help them, and it's part of their adventure forward. So I'm glad that we got to meet you, and I'm glad that you did it.
Thank you for having us.
And congratulations to both of you. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Cassidy Cunningham, Elizabeth Popoff.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560.